Hey, Dr. Chris Sanford here, a.k.a. Dr. Travel, a.k.a. Worm. A key component of the pre-travel encounter is vaccines. Receiving appropriate vaccines will markedly reduce your risk of a number of infectious diseases, many of which are life-threatening. The CDC, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which is the National Public Health Agency of the United States, recommends a number of vaccines for each age group. First, before thinking about vaccines that might be indicated for travel, you want to ensure that you're current for all the immunizations listed on the routine or domestic CDC schedule. And by the by, I'm addressing adults here. The CDC posts another recommended schedule for children. So first, the domestic vaccines. First, a flu shot. In the Northern Hemisphere, in the temperate regions, including the U.S., the season starts around October, peaks around December through February, and ends in April or even May. In the southern hemisphere, in the temperate regions, for example, Australia, the flu season is half a year off from ours. It starts around April and it ends around October. And near the equator, it's year-round. Next, COVID, super important. The booster for the fall of 2023 was approved in September. Other vaccines, and these are probably familiar names to you, Tdap or TD, which is tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, or tetanus, diphtheria. One is good for 10 years. MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. Next, chickenpox, also called varicella. And interestingly, chickenpox has a different age distribution in the tropics. In the temperate regions, such as the U.S., it's primarily a pediatric disease. But in the tropics, it's common among the unvaccinated in older teens and young adults. It's a more serious illness in adults compared to kids, so if you've never been vaccinated or had the disease, vaccination is a good idea. Also, HPV, which you can get up to age 45. Then polio. If you're going to a polio endemic area, you need a single booster on top of the series you had as a kid. Hepatitis A, real common in low-income nations. You need two doses at least 6 months apart. Hepatitis B, spread by blood and sex. You need three shots over 6 months. Hepatitis A and B are now standard vaccines for children, but depending on your age, you may not have had it as a kid. It's not a short list, but you need to be meticulous and go through it one by one. And I encourage you not to neglect the mundane vaccines. When you think about travel vaccines, you probably don't think about influenza. But studies show that the two most common vaccine-preventable infections in travelers are influenza and hepatitis A. And I think that subsequent studies will show that COVID-19 also is a common travel-associated illness. Now, it's true that neither flu nor COVID vaccines offer 100% protection. But if you get flu after receiving the flu vaccine or COVID after receiving the COVID vaccine, you tend to get a milder case. What the COVID vaccine is really good at is preventing the need for hospitalization and death. Okay, older adults, you need a couple more. The shingles, also called zoster, is indicated after age 50. And then the pneumococcal vaccine is given to folks older than 65. So now we're on to the travel vaccines, and these may be recommended depending on your itinerary and your planned activities and your duration of stay. First, those that are sometimes required. This is not a long list. The one that comes up the most often on this list is yellow fever. Yellow fever is a viral illness. It's transmitted by mosquitoes, and it's present in two large geographic areas, tropical Africa and tropical South America. A lot of countries in Africa and in some countries in South America require proof of immunization for yellow fever for entry into the country. Also making this complex, some countries that are not in yellow fever endemic areas require proof of immunization for yellow fever if you have visited a country with yellow fever. So you want to check your particular destination's rules regarding this vaccine. Now, it's a live vaccine, so there are some contraindications. We don't give it to folks who are younger than 9 months old. We don't give it to pregnant women. It's not given to folks who are immunosuppressed or those with a thymus disorder associated with abnormal immune cell function. Also, there's a couple relative contraindications, meaning discuss it with your doc. It can have higher side effects in older people, so we don't give it to people older than 60 years of age unless they have significant exposure to the illness. Also, another relative contraindication is breastfeeding. For most people, one dose of yellow fever vaccine provides lifelong protection. Another vaccine that's sometimes required is meningococcal. The Saudi Arabian government requires that people who are arriving there to go to the Hajj or Umrah, the religious pilgrimage, are vaccinated for meningococcal disease. This is part of the standard U.S. schedule now. The first is given at age 11 or 12. A booster is recommended at age 16, but adults may not have had this. The meningococcal vaccine is also recommended for those visiting a horizontal strip of land in Africa termed the Sahel. This is the region between the desert to the north and the jungle to the south. It stretches from Senegal in the west to Ethiopia in the east, in which outbreaks of meningococcal meningitis occurs frequently. Also, this vaccine is recommended for anybody staying in a crowded living situation, such as a dormitory. Now, another vaccine that was required but now isn't very often is COVID. This is in flux, so you'll, again, want to check your destination country and see if they're requiring this. Currently, not many places are. Frustratingly, when you look this up online, you may see conflicting reports of what is required, and the reality at the customs may be different than all of the things you read online. I would ask your pre-travel provider for their best judgment on this. Now we're on to travel vaccines, which are not mandatory, but are sometimes recommended. The travel-specific vaccine that we administer most commonly is for typhoid fever. Typhoid, which is spread by contaminated food and water, annually infects over 20 million people and causes over 200,000 deaths. Symptoms include fever, belly pain, GI bleeding, diarrhea, or constipation. It's now rare in the U.S., but travelers to low-income nations are at risk. For the vaccine, you have two options, either a shot in the arm, which provides protection for 2 years, or a series of four pills taken one every other day, which provides protection for 5 years. Rabies is a fatal viral illness transmitted by the bite, scratch, or lick from an infected mammal, for example, a dog or a bat. Short-term travelers to usual tourist destinations are at low risk. Travelers with heightened risk, including backpackers, those going to remote and isolated areas, prolonged time abroad, spelunkers, and of course anyone with anticipated animal exposure, such as veterinarians or wildlife biologists, should receive this. The pre-exposure series consists of two doses administered 7 days apart. In the U.S., these are expensive. Japanese encephalitis is a viral illness that is transmitted by mosquitoes in the rural South and Southeast Asia and parts of the Western Pacific. Risk is minuscule in urban areas, but travelers to rural areas in those regions, particularly if they are long duration, say over 1 month, should consider this vaccine. The vaccine in the U.S. is given as a two-dose series, 28 days apart. Adults 18 to 65 years of age can receive the second dose as soon as 7 days after the first dose. The vaccine in the U.S. is expensive. Tick-borne encephalitis is a viral infection transmitted by ticks in Central and Western Europe and North Asia. A vaccine for this was approved in the U.S. in 2021. Those with anticipated outdoors exposure, hikers, backpackers, in endemic areas should consider this vaccine. The schedule is 3 doses over 5 to 12 months, so a long lead time prior to travel is necessary. Lastly, cholera, spread by contaminated food and water, causes a life-threatening diarrhea. Vaccination for cholera is not advised for most travelers, but those at elevated risk, including those visiting areas with active transmission of cholera, and medical workers to regions with high risk of cholera, should consider this vaccine. It's an oral dose given once. Some people are worried about the side effects of vaccines, and indeed all vaccines have potential side effects. A vaccine which is injected can cause a sore arm. The oral typhoid vaccine sometimes causes nausea. Vaccines that are live, such as MMR, measles, mumps, rubella, or yellow fever, can cause a temporary low-grade fever. By federal law, when you receive a vaccine in the U.S., you'll receive a VIS, vaccine information sheet, that lists benefits and potential side effects, even very rare ones, from the vaccine. But for all of these vaccines, the risk from the vaccine is markedly lower than the risk of the disease. Regarding cost, a reasonable question is, will my insurance pay for travel vaccines? Most will pay for domestic vaccines, assuming you've met your deductible. But regarding travel vaccines, some do, some don't. It's worth your while to call your insurance company prior to your pre-travel encounter. The phone number is usually on the back of your insurance card, and ask. Due to the large number of different insurance plans, it's not reasonable to expect your pre-travel medical provider to know whether or not the vaccine costs are covered. Whether you have insurance or you're paying yourself, it's reasonable for the pre-travel provider to tell you how much each vaccine costs, plus the administration fees, so that there are no surprises. As to the timing of your pre-travel visit relative to your departure date, 6 to 8 weeks prior to departure is probably ideal. Earlier than that is okay too. However, there is benefit in seeing a pre-travel provider even at a shorter interval before your trip. The CDC site online at cdc.gov has high-grade information on all these vaccines, and my book, Staying Healthy Abroad, A Global Traveler's Guide, available at Amazon or the University of Washington Press website, discusses all this as well.